You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Welcome to Witchful Thinking, a podcast all about being a witchy woman in the modern world we live in. Each week, you can listen to these two witches banter about witchcraft, spell work, current events, intuitive wellness, spirituality, astrology, tarot, and much more. Our goal here on Witchful Thinking is to create content that informs and centers our listeners and helps them look at the world around them in a much more meaningful, magical way. Thanks so much for tuning in, and be sure to follow the podcast on Instagram for daily updates.
What's up? Hello, everybody. We're back.
Hello.
We are back. We took a week off. Life is crazy, but it is good. And we just fucking busy bitches.
That's right. We were just enjoying our week.
We're just having fun, being young, counting down the days until Liz is here.
That's right.
What is it now? 16, 17? I think we did this earlier today, but I already forgot.
We did. It's 17 days.
17 days. Wait, so the next episode that we post, will you be here the following week?
Let's see. No. After two more episodes, I will be there the following week after two.
Okay, that makes more sense.
Yeah. We're getting there.
It's going to be here before we know it. I'm so excited. But yeah, I did feel like we kind of just needed
a break, you know, Yeah. We were both having good social life weeks, good mental health weeks, good, like, you know, things were just good. We were living it up.
Yeah, exactly. And now we are settled down in our comfy chairs/couch and we're ready to record. And this episode, if you haven't been keeping up with this series, this is a Law of Attraction series. And this is the third episode and final episode of this series. So for this one, it's going to be all about toxic positivity in the Law of Attraction community. We're talking about privilege in the Law of Attraction community, and we're also talking about spiritual bypassing and what that is and how to know if someone is kind of spiritually bypassing in conversation with you or if you've been doing it, yada, yada. But to start off, we do have some listener questions.
We do.
So I'm going to probably say this for each episode up until, like, I don't know, at some point I'll stop. But for anyone who's a new listener, we are now taking questions once a week. So if you want to email us a story or a question that you have, it can be about witchcraft, astrology, your practice, mental health, anything, feel free to email us. Our email is in the description of the show, or you can contact us on Instagram. And most of the time, I'm hoping that we'll be able to follow up the following episode and answer whatever questions we get. But this one comes from Maggie Hubert. She said we can use her name. So hi, Maggie. But Maggie says, hi, Brooke. I'm a huge fan of the podcast. I was wondering if you had any suggestions for my current situation. I'm currently trying to distance myself from a toxic friendship. This is proving to be extremely difficult because we've been friends for years. We live very close to each other and our lives are very intertwined. Recently, some things have changed since I've embarked more seriously on my spiritual journey, and I've become aware of how much of a negative energy this person is in my life. Without going into too much detail, I'm completely drained every time after I hang out with them. They're materialistic and selfish, and they treat other people horribly. Also, as I have distanced myself, this has only made them become more and more clingy, making me feel suffocated and depressed. Basically, my question is, if you have any suggestions for a spell that would remove this person from my life without causing them any harm. I've done some research on the subject, and most all banishment spells are a little too dark for my goal. Essentially, I want them away from me, but I don't want them to suffer in any way as a result of my spell. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a tricky situation when you've been friends with someone for a really long time, and then you just start, you know, you start going through your own spiritual awakening, and you're realizing that you might be hanging around a energy vampire. Yeah, maybe I would say. Yeah. And I don't know, for me, when I have found people like that, I think the only answer is to, you know, definitely distance yourself from them. I guess I'll like to hear what you have to say for this, because my first thought when you were reading that was, oh, a banishing spell. But they, you know, this person, actually, I guess my question to this person would be, they said that all of the banishing spells that they saw or looked into were too dark for them. And I guess I would have to understand what dark means, because I've done a banishing spell and it wasn't dark or anything like that. Actually, I think that was one of the first episodes that I was
on. Your neighbor.
Yeah. I was living in an apartment and I had a neighbor downstairs that, like, the floors were thin. It just was the way it was. She could hear me existing upstairs. Like, if I was walking, like, I'm not stomping around, she could just hear everything, which I felt bad about, but there was just nothing I could do. And she was constantly banging on the ceiling, leaving angry, passive aggressive notes on my door, kind of harassing me if I would see her in the apartment complex. And I was just existing, and I was paying good money to exist at that place. So it was kind of obnoxious that I had to deal with her. And I just didn't want to see her. Like, I just didn't want to see her. I just didn't want to talk to her. I didn't want any harm to come to her. I just wanted her to stop appearing in my life in a negative way. So I used a banishment spell, and I did mine. I did a not banishing spell. Wait, was that, or was that
when you banish so many people you can't
wait, which one? It was either the knot. Oh, no, because no, the knot one was a binding spell. No, I actually made a banishing like potion, I guess you could call it. You know, I used a few ingredients from a recipe that I have, and it was just something that I put into a spell jar and sealed it with candle wax and just sealed my intention of, I just don't want this person to speak to me. I don't want this person. I don't want to see this person. Like, I just want to be distance as much as I can from this person, but I don't want any harm to come to this person. So, but I mean, maybe that is dark to somebody else, just the idea of banishing someone. So
cord cutting ceremonies with candles.
Yeah, especially because this person is like, they're, you know, has been a close friend of theirs for so many years. Mm-hmm. A cord cutting ceremony could for sure do it.
Be careful if you do that, because fire, those, they can get a little bit out of control depending on the energy.
Oh my God. I had to put out a cord cutting spell that I did a long time ago. Like, the fire got to be too big and I got scared that I could potentially burn down the house. Don't burn down your house. But yeah, that's a great one. I'm trying to think of what else.
Even if you don't want to do, I mean, I feel like the word banishment in general, I you know, if you've already got a taste in your mouth that it's like a dark, probably everything banishment related, you're going to find dark. This, I would say, is more of a situation of setting boundaries so that you can slide out of the person's life. Cause I have been in situations before with really clingy people. There was a situation actually like a few years ago where I was friends with this girl. She just was so emotionally dependent on me and my time. And I was so depressed that I couldn't handle it. And one day I just snapped on her, and that's not, it's not appropriate, but it did happen. And I was just like, I literally cannot, I'm not your crutch. Like I'm sorry. I don't want to hang out. I don't want to like, yeah. I wasn't very nice. And, yeah. But I think the intent behind it was to set a boundary that no one's entitled to my time except for me. This person is not entitled to your time. And if you don't want to give it to her, and like, you're growing apart. So I just feel like at some point, you're probably going to have to rely on your words and communicating with this person that they're smothering you. And you just feel like you're growing apart, especially if yeah. they're like really negative and you're not on that same like energy level anymore.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. I would say maybe for a situation like this, I don't think, you know, like for me, I had no contact with my neighbor except for when she was like doing something to bitch at me. But like when it's a close friend, and I mean, I could have set a boundary with her too. I definitely should have said something. She was just, you know, she was really old and I like didn't want to, she could barely walk and I just felt so bad. But when it comes to this, like, you're right, setting boundaries is totally appropriate. And I think you should, if you want to mix magic with setting boundaries, I think that would be really great. And you know what you could do? If you don't want to impose anything on anyone else, like a banishing spell where that's, and you're, you know, even though it's not, you're not hurting anybody, it's still imposing energy and intentions onto someone else. Maybe you could pair setting boundaries with someone. And if you want to bring magic into it, maybe protect your own energy. Like, don't put anything on this other person and do something to protect your own energy so that hopefully, you know, when you go to talk to this person, you don't absorb their negative energy. Like, you know, we were in our last episode, we talked about, veiling, or you know, how I wear a ring that I set an intention to protect my energy, and you know, so maybe you could do something that protects you versus trying to impose an intent on someone else.
Exactly. And like I definitely think the veiling thing is like very good if you're like, I really want to mix some of my craft in with this for, you know, like peace of mind or just to like practice. I would personally suggest like meeting up with them or saying like, hey, can we like FaceTime? Can we talk? Maybe come up with a list, be prepared with your facts, write a little thesis statement.
Yeah, just be honest, you know,
it's hard. It is hard to do that, but just straight up, just be like,
you know, if that person really cares about you, then they will be receptive to hearing what you have to say. And if they're not receptive to hearing what you have to say, then they're probably actually not that great of a friend to you.
Just tell them, like, even if you don't think that this is true, say you're a great person, but I just think right now in our lives, we're diverging down two different paths. And I don't know how to best emotionally support you the way that you need to be supported right now. And it's also taking a toll on my mental health to constantly be your crutch or your go-to or your dumping ground. And there might be like a fallout, like you may end up having an argument. Don't give them any, like, I wouldn't give them any opportunity to negate what you're saying though. Like, maybe don't pick out certain events like, well, when you did this, it made me feel like this, or when you did that. If you just want to cut the cord and just be done, don't sit there and pick out events. Just be like, this is how I feel. We're two different people. We're not we're not compatible.
Yeah.
And just, you know, and then if they're crazy or something, you might have to get a restraining order, girlfriend.
Yeah, sure. You know, I was actually listening to a podcast the other day that talked about, you know, the relationships in your life, and like, it's good to find, to have a friend who you can tell your emotional things to, but also like, in a way, it's good to consent with that person that they are you before I go dumping this on you. Do you have the emotional capacity to take it on right now?
Yes.
You know that. And so the podcast is called Make Your Damn Bed. And the person who runs it, what is her name? Julie Merica. She has such a peaceful, calming voice to listen to, which I love. Like, that's so important to me when I listen to a podcast, is I want the person to have a really soothing voice. But the episode I listened to, they're essentially just like, they're 3 or 4 minutes long. And she says, her purpose for this is, you know, you could listen to one of these every morning when you're making your bed, and it's supposed to like help you get into the habit, first thing when you wake up, like making your bed, and to listen to this. I binge listen to these when I'm working because they're so uplifting and I love all the messages. I can't remember which one it was. It might be the episode called Day 74, Boundaries Can Be Liberating. But it also might be Day 80, Diversity of Your Friend Group. So I don't know. It sounds like what that person is not doing is consenting with you that you can emotionally take on what they have to say at the moment, and it's okay. You can be a close friend and say, I don't have the emotional capacity to take that on right now. That's a boundary, and that's okay.
Especially if they're making, you said that they're making you feel suffocated and depressed. Like, that is taking a toll on your mental health, and you are well within your right to be like, you are negatively affecting my mental health. Point blank, period. You don't even need to sugarcoat that shit, because I just want to drive this point home. You are always well within your right. If someone is negatively affecting your mental health, that can affect your physical health immediately. I mean, when you're stressed the fuck out, you're holding all that tension in your shoulders, your pelvis, your hips, your stomach.
Yeah. And Brooke and I have both experienced that firsthand.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a real thing. So I get how that's a tricky place to be in, especially when it's someone who you've just known for so long. I think it's time to, do something that'll make you a little bit uncomfortable in the moment, but you'll feel so much better afterwards.
Exactly. And obviously, you know, let us know what you decide. Let us know if you need any further advice.
Or if this helped at all.
Yeah, let us know if this helped at all, Maggie.
I hope it did.
And thank you for being so patient. I know that it took us a hot minute to get to this because you sent it on May 19th. So thank you for being patient. Feel free to update us and just let us know. And thank you for allowing us to share your story so that hopefully this can help other people struggling with the same problem as well.
Yes.
Our next question, I need to open up. Hold on. Here it is. Okay. Next one is from Kimmy. You want to read it? Did I send you the screenshot?
Yeah, you did. Okay. So Kimmy says, hey ladies, wanted to ask a few questions for the podcast. One, I know you went over crystals and crystal jewelry in a previous episode, and know that the elevator rides have been stressful because you absorb the negative energy. That's something that I mentioned in a previous episode. Any tips to absorb negative phone calls? I work as an auto claim adjuster, and it's hard not to take the angry phone calls slash insults personally. I have black tourmaline and obsidian at my desk, but I don't think it helps with phone calls. Any tips? So that's number one. I totally understand that. I used to work a job where I had to make 250 plus phone calls a day. I wasn't a claims adjuster. But people, and I would assume people who are obviously that you're talking to, are way more upset than even what I was dealing with. But people just thought when I answered that people automatically thought I was a salesperson, like trying to sell them something or whatever. And, this is when I was a recruiter for that slimy marketing firm that I've mentioned before. And I was calling them about an interview. But I did have a script to read for this interview. So like I sounded scripted and they, you know, probably anybody who has an intuition would be like, why is someone calling me reading off a script? This is a salesperson. And they would just yell at me and I would get so many angry people. And that's difficult to take on at work to, you know, have to take calls where, you know, someone's going to be yelling and bitching at you. And that is a hard place to be in. And honestly, I don't blame you for thinking that the black tourmaline and the obsidian aren't working, because we both love crystals. But I don't think Brooke does either. Correct me if I'm wrong, but like neither of us fully rely on crystals to absorb negative energy like that. There's probably a couple of different things. For me, when I'm absorbing a lot of negativity, I feel the need to cleanse, but obviously cleanse. So, maybe try cleansing your workspace just to clear the workspace of any negativity. If you're in an office, I would not suggest smoke cleansing. That might be frowned upon. Or you could do it Brooke's way, Brooke's method, and if you're allowed to have a candle, light a candle and, you know, blow it out and use the smoke, and, you know, people will just know you had a candle burning. Or you can use water, if you're interested in cleansing, go back to our cleansing episode. We were talking about digital cleansing, but we did go into like cleansing your space too. So maybe cleanse your workspace. But also when I absorb negative energy, I feel the tension in my body and I feel the need to move. And I've mentioned this before, but if you are allowed to take like breaks in between calls, or I don't know what your work schedule is like, but sometimes I need to step away from the workspace, put on my headphones and go move my body, like listen to music. I need to raise my vibrations because taking on so much negativity just lowers my vibration and it puts me in a bad headspace. I start getting super complainy, like on the inside, I'm like bitching in my head all day long. That's what I would do. That's a tough place to be in though. Cause it's your job, you know.
It's also a lot like, I mean, deflecting anger is difficult as it is. And when it comes to like your livelihood and how you make your money, knowing you've gotta like, you don't have a choice but to deal with that. I mean, that's like, that's hard. I mean, if that's going to be your job, if that's the role that you want to, if that's the role you want to work right now, I think more than anything, you've got to just change your mindset before you sit down. Because I mean, stuff like people aren't going to change. That's a job where people are generally big assholes. And I don't think any amount of witchcraft or crystals or herbs or cleansing or anything is really going to change the outcome of how you feel once you get up from your desk or wherever you work at the end of the day. I think personally that, you know, you could use crystals, or you could use different tools to help you put your mind in a better place for receiving that kind of energy and deflecting it, and also changing your mindset about, like, just imagine yourself getting up for the day and just every shitty thing that has been said to you over the phone just like falls off of you. Like, just imagine like words or something like tumbling off you, like you're shaking your clothes and like words are literally just falling off your clothes like dust or something.
Right.
Because I mean,
when you're dancing, like if you take a music break, which is what I do, I go to the bathroom or I go outside where no one can see me and I dance and I move my body and just try to imagine the weight of whatever you're feeling, like literally leaving your body. Almost like when you take like a cleansing shower, you know, like you're envisioning all the negativity washing off of your body. That's a tough place to be in. Also, I don't know if this is probably, you know, when I was talking to angry people, and the thing is, like, I mean, with this, like, I think I just happen to be a good conversationalist. You can't always change, like Brooke said, you can't always change the way people are going to talk to you and their mindset. But I don't know, just when I was in a good headspace and in a good mindset, I was kind of able to talk people into a calmer state, which sucks that I had to take on that responsibility.
Yeah.
But just by keeping my own energy positive, and not taking on theirs and not letting their energy affect me, it kind of ended up bringing that the person I was talking to into a better energy. It's not always going to work out like that though.
It's also not your responsibility to talk somebody down when they're being a fucking asshole.
Oh, for sure.
Sure, that's not what you signed up for when you got that job. But I do think the work is going to be mostly in your mind, like in your mind, your mindset.
Yeah. And, you know, also, I think it helped me when I was in a job similarly where I was just talking to people who were angry. This actually kind of ties in with the episode today, because I don't mean this in a toxic positivity way. I tried to be grateful where I could. And I just tried to show gratitude where I could. Because if you can just, sometimes if you can find one thing to be grateful for, like, you know, I'm so glad that I have a job right now. Or maybe like if you worked, you know, this claims job, you worked through the pandemic, I'm so glad I didn't lose my job, or I'm so glad that this job provides a roof over my head. And not, it's okay for you to still be upset and not like how the job makes you feel and taking on all the anger and things. Cause that's, nobody's going to want that. But just trying to change your mindset. I'm training for a Tough Mudder at work with my coworkers. And after work each day, we're all going out and working out together. And I was running on Wednesday of this week. And I was really just like, oh my God, I hate running. I hate it so much. Why is the human body so high maintenance that if I just don't do this for a while, it's just hurts so much and my lungs hurt. And I was just like bitching in my head, you know, like, oh my God, I hate this. This is so miserable. And I said something out loud. And one of my coworkers was like, I totally get that. Like, this sucks. But also, just another thought. How amazing is it that you have the capability to run? And I was like, you're right.
And sometimes stuff like that can be really fucking annoying. Like, you're mad. If you're mad and someone's like, be positive, like, and that's like goes right along with what we're talking about in this episode, is like toxic positivity. like everyone's allowed to be pissed off sometimes. Like you don't have to work your job and be like constantly be like, I'm so grateful. But like, I think it's going into before you clock in and then leaving your job when you clock out, just like trying to practice gratitude. And you know what, if you really, if this is just too much for you, girl, like I highly suggest that you find another job.
Yeah, that's, I was just going to say, I don't know what's in the cards for you. But the solution for me was getting a new job.
Same.
And it worked. Yeah.
I fully agree. And I mean, like, we're not trying to be like, oh, like just go find another, just go like, whatever. Like, that's not what I'm trying to say, but I'm just saying like, that is an option. Like if this is really affecting you and getting under your skin, maybe it's worth looking into working somewhere where you're not spoken to like dog shit. Cause I know for sure I've spoken with claims adjusters before. And some of them have literally just at the end of the call, they've been like, thank you for not being like, thank you for being patient. Thank you for being kind. Thank you for understanding. Like, you know, maybe also if that's something that could also be something to do, the people who are actually kind to you, make sure that you're saying like, I really appreciate your politeness and your humanity on this phone call. Is there anything else I can help you with? Like people who are actually respectful and kind, I would 100% express gratitude, because like we've already said before about this question, you are working a job where people are irritated. They don't want to pay whatever they're going to have to pay. They don't want to admit they're at fault if they're at fault. So, I mean, that's also a tip. If you don't want to search for another job, finding other ways to find positivity in the job that you have is also, an option. And then I think she also had a second question. What's the difference between being Wiccan and being pagan? So someone who's Wiccan follows a nature-oriented religion. They have rituals and practices, and it's comes from like pre-Christianity, pretty much. Witchcraft is associated with Wicca, but it's not the same thing. A pagan is a member of a religious or spiritual group or community. So one is Wicca is nature-oriented, like a nature-oriented religion or practice, and a pagan is a member. So if you're asking like Wicca versus a pagan or Wiccan versus pagan, Wicca falls into the category of paganism pretty much.
Right. And it's almost like, it's just like how a Wiccan, someone who is Wiccan can use witchcraft in their religion, but not everybody who practices witchcraft is Wiccan. You know, is it like people who are pagan use Wiccan traditions, but just because you're Wiccan doesn't mean you're pagan.
Yeah.
Kind of a thing.
Yeah, exactly. And Wicca is also considered like a form of modern witchcraft, kind of. And neither one of these have anything to do with Satanism or devil worship. Just for anyone listening.
Yeah.
For whoever wondered that,
yeah.
I had to actually have that conversation with somebody this week who,
no way.
Yeah, who is a Christian, you know who I'm talking about, and is very intrigued by witchcraft and Wicca, and that's always a fun conversation to have, and then you get to point them in the direction of Google when they don't believe you.
Mm-hmm. Good for them for asking.
Yeah, but... yeah, so those are the questions for this week. Thank you, ladies, both for sending us your questions. And again, guys, if you are interested in sharing a story, whether it's a dream, a past life regression, something spooky, something weird, a spell that backfired, you have questions for us, anything, please send them, because they honestly give us more to record about.
Yeah.
Also, hold on. So pause. I'm not going to pause the recording, but I just got an email that we can get both of our tattoos done by the first girl.
Oh my God, that's exactly who we wanted too.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Okay, you fill.
Can we get them done? Okay. Okay, so I'll fill the listeners. So when I come to visit Brooke, we decided that we wanted to get some kind of a matching tattoo together. And it took us a while to try and figure out what the heck we wanted, because we wanted it to be meaningful, but like obviously really cute and, have some kind of like maybe witchy element with it. And, as many people who have listened to this podcast for a long time knows that Brooke and I just have like a parallel life, things that happen to one person happen to the other. It's so bizarre. It's not even coincidence anymore. My therapist told me that she believes that Brooke and I have soul contracts together. And we've both had our pattern tell us that like we bring out each other, we bring out things in each other, and we essentially have a mirrored life sometimes, it feels like. And that's something that that really brings us close together. And that's what we bonded over initially as friends. So we wanted to incorporate a mirror into the tattoo. And so it does. We'll have to post a picture on like the Instagram story or something when we get them. So I'll keep it a little bit of a secret of what it looks like, but there is a mirror incorporated into it. And all of a sudden we're now 17 days away from me being out there. And today on the phone, we were like, oh shit, we need to get an appointment with somebody, because sometimes it takes months to get appointments with people. And there was one girl in particular that we were interested in. We messaged a couple of artists, checked out their Instagram. And I wasn't expecting to hear back from anyone for at least a week. And the girl we wanted just messages back.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. She said she can do both of them that same day on June 24th at 12 o'clock.
Oh my God, I'm so excited.
I just emailed her back and I said where I want mine and then where you're going to want yours. So after we finish recording, you go take a picture of your arm so I can send it to her.
Okay, cool.
And she requires a deposit. We'll talk about this shit after we finish recording. But yeah, this is so exciting. I'm so fucking excited.
Oh my God. I'm so excited.
Dude. Yes. Okay. Anyways. So
detour.
I just had to tell you, I've been excited for like 5 minutes and I
couldn't keep it in.
I couldn't keep it in until after we were done.
Oh my God. Okay. So
anyways. Toxic positivity
episode today.
Toxic positivity and the law of attraction. So I think in the beginning we mentioned what we want to talk about: privilege and spiritual bypassing when it comes to the aspect of toxic positivity and the law of attraction. So you can start off, why don't you just start off with like the aspect of privilege when it comes to, okay, you know, manifest, yeah, and whatnot.
Yeah. I guess I wanted to give a disclaimer, because we've been talking about the law of attraction, how to create the life you want to live, getting things you want in life because you deserve them. And eliminating things like fear and self-doubt and like things to eliminate from your life that may be roadblocks. But something that we didn't mention in those episodes is there can be roadblocks that can't necessarily just be eliminated by, oh, I'm going to work on not doubting myself. We've even mentioned manifesting money and things like that. And there is still an element of privilege that comes with creating a life that you love, that you want to live, getting the things that you want in life. There is privilege that comes with that. And there's multiple different kinds of privileges. There's race privilege, there's wealth privilege, there's being an able-bodied person privilege, there's gender identity privilege and gender and sex and education privilege. There's the list of privileges goes on, and all of these things do play a role in you manifesting what you want. When I was telling Brooke about how I wanted to mention this, you know, if you happen to already have tons of money in the bank and you're trying to manifest starting your own business, it's going to be easier for you to probably, I mean, obviously this is I'm not taking like anybody's specific circumstance into account, but it's probably easier to manifest the life you want to live and start the business because you already have the first piece, which is getting the money to start it. Whereas somebody else is, you know, we just don't want people to think, oh, I can't, you know, I did all of the things. I got rid of self-doubt. I got rid of fear. I got rid of X, Y, and Z. And I've been trying to manifest money, but like, I don't have it yet. And I can't start the business yet. Or, you know, there are privileges that play a part in this. And I just wanted to mention that because I think not mentioning it, aids in part of the privilege aspect. So, I just wanted to put that as a disclaimer. Not that, of course, it's difficult because if you are, what is it, disprivileged in certain areas, you know, part of toxic positivity would be saying, oh, don't let that get you down. Guess what? If you are disprivileged in an area, there is no amount of positivity sometimes that can help that. Like, and you end up having to work way harder than somebody else. And that there's like, I don't know any way around that. It absolutely sucks. It shouldn't, you know, it would be nice for everybody to have an equal shot at things. But I just wanted to throw that out there, that toxic positivity, sometimes if someone's like, oh, well, just keep manifesting, just keep doing the 3x3 rule, or what, 3x33 rule, and you'll get there. You might have other things that are putting you at a disadvantage, and to not let someone who's super just be positive. You might have something that's actually putting you at a disadvantage, and to not let somebody get in your head and think that like your feelings are valid if there's something that you are at a disadvantage of, and to not let the toxic positivity community think that you're not getting what you want just because you're not being positive.
Exactly. Like, that's one of the ugliest aspects, I think, of the law of attraction, is like, there are so many people who enforce that kind of negative, like, just like, it's like victim blaming.
Yeah.
Pretty much. It's like, oh, you don't have a Maserati. Did you manifest hard enough? Oh, your entire family died in a fire. Well, you just need to like manifest like good positivity in your life. Like, bitch, life is dirty, messy, ugly, traumatic, scarring. Not everything is all light and love. Just like, not all witches are like light and love and happiness. And like, I'm only gonna do spells for the greater good. That's not how everything is. Let's be realistic. The whole like, everything happens for a reason. I hate that term. I have always hated that. I think I hated that term. I started hating it when Justin Bieber said that everything happens for a reason in response to a girl being raped. Do you remember that?
Oh, no.
That was like a while ago. He was young. Like, he literally was like, well, I mean, everything
happens
for a reason. Fuck you. What the hell? What?
Ew. That is disgusting. I hate that phrase as well. I have a different version of that phrase that I kind of live by now, but I don't apply it to every circumstance. So instead of saying everything happens for a reason, I kind of believe what is for me will not pass over me. But that's it. I really only mean that in terms of opportunities. Mm-hmm. I don't apply that to every single thing that has happened to me, because I have had, we have both, and probably most everybody listening to this has had something happen to them that was just fucking cruel. Like, there is no reason behind that happening. It just happened. And it was absolutely awful. It was terrible. It was traumatic. And I don't think that, and also, as many people know, I grew up very religious, and in the religious community, it's about, God has a purpose for your life, and God has a purpose for that happening to you, which is the exact same shit as saying everything happens for a reason. And that literally made my blood boil when shit hit the fan for me. That kind of talk made my blood boil. 'Cause all I could think is like, yeah, coming from you, someone who has a perfect fucking life, you have so much money, you have a great job. Like, it just made me, I'm like, coming from you, like you have a great life. And at the time, life was hitting the fan for me, and I just wanted to sock someone in the face who said that to me. Like, it just made me angry to hear that. So that is toxic positivity. Not everything in life has a reason or a purpose. I think it's okay to believe that some things happen for a reason and some things happen for a purpose. And there are totally times that I tried manifesting things and I didn't get them. The answer was no. And looking back, I'm like, damn, I am so glad the answer was no. That actually worked out for me. And I do like to think that, like, a higher version of myself was looking out for me, or the universe maybe had something better for me, and a different road was going to be better for me. And I do think that that had a purpose, but I don't think that every little thing that happens has to have a purpose.
Exactly. Not every single tiny little, like, it just, sometimes,
or big things.
Sometimes
big things happen and they don't have a reason. Like, it doesn't even have to be little.
Sometimes shit just happens and it fucking sucks. And like, that's it. Like, you don't want to sit here and listen to someone say, well, you know, this, in retrospect, it's okay for you, I think, to turn around and say, like, if this hadn't happened, I wouldn't be at the good place I'm at in my life, or I would still be in this bad place in my life. But that's like, that you can say that. It's the same as like being comfortable poking fun at yourself. You have the power to say that if you want, but I don't feel like people need to accept when other people say, like, everything happens for a reason. Like, I don't really believe in everything is predetermined already. I know that a lot of people believe that. I know a lot of Christian witches believe that, but that's just not my personal belief.
Same.
I feel
you're right. Like, I think that is a good point, because me now, the few things that I can think of off the top of my head that I was trying to manifest and it didn't happen, it didn't work out. At the time, I wasn't in the best mindset about it. I was like, this sucks. I really wanted this. I really put a lot of effort into getting this and I didn't get it. But you're right. In retrospect, looking back, I am like, okay, that, you know, actually it ended up working out for me that didn't happen. Something else better ended up coming out of me not getting what I wanted in the moment. But only you can, if somebody else in that moment were to be like, oh, everything happens for a reason, that would have made me angry. Like, that would have made me not feel good. So it's all about you, and not letting somebody else be an energy vampire imposing, because maybe they're just like, oh, well, I did that and it worked out for me. Okay, great. But like, that's just not how life works. Things don't work out for people the same. So it's just all about, it's about protecting your energy, really, and setting boundaries. One of my examples for toxic positivity, I bring up this job a lot. There's just so many good life lessons that I learned from this job at the marketing firm. But toxic positivity was the work culture there. Every single person was putting on a facade every morning, a fake face of happiness. We were all making no money. We were all hustling, busting our asses. I mean, to the point of just like, none of us were eating well. None of us were sleeping well. There were people who, you know, some of these employees had to fit three, four, five people into an apartment because nobody could afford to live on their own or even with just one or two roommates. And they were living, you know, they had like two people in a bedroom, somebody on the couch. Like it was an environment where people were, all you could focus on were your basic needs. Where am I going to get my next meal? Do I have a roof over my head? Do I have a working car? Because they had to have a car for this job and they had to drive all around fucking Colorado and sometimes outside of the state. And when you would get to the office, if you, and I talked about how this office used LOAs, not law of attraction, but law of averages. And they essentially took law of attraction and included numbers and math and toxic positivity into it, and called it, it is law of, what did I just say?
Law of averages.
Law of averages, right. So when, you know, when these sales reps would go to a quote unquote event, essentially King Soopers, a Kroger, a Costco, and they're selling sheets, right? And they have a quota of, they have to sell 20 sets of sheets in their shift that day. You know, the law of, we were told things like, if you talk to at least 200 people, you're, maybe out of speaking, just saying, hi, how are you? Out of speaking to 200 people, 100 people will stop and like say hi to you back. And out of those 100 people who stop and say hi to you back, you can then continue your pitch. And out of those 100 people, maybe 50 people will let you get through your pitch without just walking away, like where you can actually get through the pitch. And then out of those 50 people who let you get totally through the pitch, 20 of them will let you close, which is essentially telling you, here's how much it costs, and you try to get to buy it. And out of the 20 people you close, 10 of them will buy the product. And so with that math, right, you have to speak to 200 people to get 10 sales. That means you have to speak to 400 people to get 20 sales. That's like the whole math behind it. Obviously, the world doesn't necessarily always work that way. Just because you speak to 200 people doesn't mean 10 people are going to buy your product. It just doesn't always work out that way. So on a day where you hit your numbers, you made your quota, in the office, they would be, oh my God, you're so amazing. You're a high roller. This is, you use the systems right. That, you know, this is great. But then they're like chanting and dancing and singing music. It was very culty. And then on days where you didn't hit your numbers, it was, oh, you just must have not been using the systems right. So like if you did good, you the systems worked. And if you didn't hit your quota, you know, sometimes these people were going into King Soopers. Like, what if it was around the holiday and everybody was trying to, like, it was Thanksgiving and people are spending their money on food, or maybe the King Soopers that they went to is in a more poverty-stricken area, and people coming to King Soopers weren't expecting to drop $60 on a set of sheets. Like, there are factors obviously that go into people buying these things. And it was toxic positivity when you were making your quota and when you were not making your quota. And it absolutely just, I ran myself to the ground, and I had to go into the office every day and put on a fake fucking face, because if you weren't positive, somebody would say something about it to you. Like, well, of course you're not going to do well. Look at your attitude. Like, you don't have a great attitude. Of course you didn't sell 20 sheets. You're not being positive right now. Nobody wants to talk to you. Or, you know, it was, if you weren't doing well, you weren't being positive enough. Because positivity can, that the mindset was, if you're positive, you're going to get whatever you want. And it just doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
Trust me, if it worked, hell, I'd be positive all the time if I got whatever the hell I wanted. Sure, I'll be positive if it gives me everything I want.
It's good to practice, like, it's good to practice gratuity and positivity, but like when someone tries to force it down your throat, it's just like, well, I don't want to be positive because you told me to be positive.
Yeah, me and my authority issues. I don't like being told what to do. Yeah. Oh, you told me to be positive? Fuck you.
Yeah, like, fuck off. Like,
yeah. Yeah, so that's my example of something that I experienced that was just a culture of toxic positivity. Everybody was fake. Everybody was pretending to be your friend. The second you left the job, you were dead meat. Like, you were blocked on all social media platforms. Nobody would speak to you ever again. Even they would pretend to be your best fucking friend. And yeah. Oh, I have a podcast guest today.
Hi.
Who Brooke can see, the listeners can't. But I am dog sitting a golden doodle.
There it goes. Who was super cuddly. And oh shit. Hold on. I want to take a picture. I'm gonna take a picture and put it on our Instagram.
Okay.
It's too cute. Get out.
Oh my goodness.
The audacity. I mean,
I know. So he, precious.
Straight up.
He literally just came up and laid on my chest. Just because he's a cuddle bug and he needed some snuggles, apparently. So I'm snuggling a golden doodle right now.
He is so cute. Why won't my I'm trying to get my phone to like load and it fucking won't. Okay, here. All right. Now,
oh, look, he's looking.
Ah, he's looking. Cutie pie. Oh my god. So for the next part, we wanted to talk about spiritual bypassing, which I have a shit ton to say about spiritual bypassing. Thank you very much. So he's literally still sitting there.
Yeah, he doesn't plan on moving either. He's good. He's comfy.
He's good. He feels happy. He looks good. He's like, I don't have any intention of leaving.
Yeah.
So for what spiritual bypassing is, pretty much it is what is, I'm trying to figure out like an exact definition. So when someone is talking to you about their own enlightenment, or how they handle things so positively, or they're dumping on you about all the negative things in their life, and then just as quickly as they dump on you, they're very quick to turn around and say, but it's not affecting me, I'm not scared, I don't have any anger, no resentment, nothing of this. But they continue to dump and dump and dump, and they're clearly very negative about it, but they refuse to acknowledge their negativity. That is spiritual bypassing. So it basically, when the person spiritually bypasses, they're avoiding feelings of anger, fear, and doubt. And they pretty much think of themselves as spiritually superior than other people as a way to hide from their own insecurities. So for instance, something super traumatic may happen to someone you know who spiritually bypasses. And instead of choosing to have a human experience, choosing to feel their feelings, choosing to accept the fact that they are feeling sad, alone, depressed, scared, they think everything has to be a learning experience, no matter how traumatic it is. And not only do they do that with their own experiences, but they do that with other people as well. So it's one thing to not acknowledge your own feelings and pretend that nothing affects you. But it's another thing when someone else is dealing with something difficult or traumatic and a person tries to make them see the silver lining in a really negative experience. So they might overemphasize the positive aspects
and avoid all the negative ones. They might become pretty self-righteous when it comes to the idea of enlightenment or anything spiritual. Like maybe they think they know everything there is to know about crystals or chakras or being in full alignment with yourself. Maybe they abuse the shit out of psychedelics, and maybe they think that they have just seen it all because, oh, I've done so much acid or I've done so many shrooms. Like I'm the fucking all seeing eye, like third eyes open, has been open since I was born. Like, and they use it as an excuse to not acknowledge other people's emotions as valid or their own emotions, which I honestly think it's more fucking sad for someone who spiritually bypasses to ignore their own feelings. Like, you just set yourself back so far.
Yeah.
So far. That's another part of that, is being overly detached. And when a person, when I think of someone being overly detached from a situation, I just think in my mind, like, they have to be really, really hurting because they keep expressing how much they're over it, how they're using their mind to overcome it in a matter of days, something super traumatic. Maybe somebody died. Maybe they lost their animal. Maybe they lost their job. Something really awful happened. And they're just like constantly, no, I'm good. Like, I'm perfectly fine. Like, I guess, like, fuck me. Like, everything goes wrong in my life, but like, I'm just going to take the pain and like work with it. Like, that, there's nothing wrong with learning from your experiences. That's like, I encourage that. Honestly, I think everything awful, there is some type of lesson. There is some, I don't think everything happens for a reason, but there is some type of good thing. Not good thing. Fuck. I'm putting my foot in my mouth. I feel like to some extent you can learn something from every little thing that happens to you in your life, whether it's a hard lesson to learn or it's a much needed lesson. However, you're not fully learning anything if you're not acknowledging your own emotions and your feelings, if you're being extremely detached, or you're encouraging other people to be detached from, yeah, from their experience. And actually, I'm going to share a personal anecdote here. So recently, I went through something that has changed the course of my life, and I have not been super public about it because I don't see the need to be. I don't really want everyone in my business. However, I did make the small mistake of kind of hinting at it, at something being wrong in my Instagram story. And a person from my past decided to message me asking me when my next book was coming out. And the reason that he said that was because the last time that I published a book, I was going through something extremely hard and extremely traumatic. And to me, that is a form of spiritually bypassing, is trying to force someone else out of their realm of comfortability and try to pass it off as growth or a learning experience, or you're going to be so much better because of this. Let me fucking grieve. Let me be fucking sad. If I'm going through something hard, I don't need you to sit here and shove Ram Dass down my throat. I don't need you to sit here and quote fucking Huxley at me. Like, I want, if I just need a second to be mad and upset and throw a temper tantrum, just let me. Yeah. Let anybody.
The only person who can say I became a better person because of that is you in your own time.
Yeah, I don't need you.
That's not anybody else's job to say, oh, you just went through something so traumatic. Well, you'll end up being a better person for this. Like, just wait, you'll see. Like,
so insane.
You're right. I am going to wait. I will see, but that's for me to decide. And that takes time. You know, spiritually bypassing is like you said, something had just happened to you. And for someone to just literally the next day be like, oh, don't worry, you'll be better because of this. Like, it's not for you to say, and it's for the person who's experiencing that to say in their own time.
Like, read the fucking room, dude. It's like if someone's dog fucking dies and you're like, you're gonna get a new one soon. Dude, too soon.
Yeah, literally, when I had to put Bingley down,
I had coworkers when I told them, like, literally the next week, they were like, so are you just going to get another one? And I'm like, can we actually not talk about this right now? Because I understand that maybe a cat didn't mean to you as much as it meant to me, but I can't just go get a new cat the next week, like, too soon.
There's also a difference. There's a difference between being insensitive and spiritually bypassing, but I do feel like when someone spiritually bypasses, they are being insensitive. And not everybody who is being insensitive towards you is doing anything that has to do with spiritual bypassing. However, like I said, if someone's spiritually bypassing shit, they are being fucking insensitive. And I don't care who listens to this and gets offended. If you've ever tried to force someone who is hurting and vulnerable to see the silver lining, and you've said that you are just trying to help them heal, you're not doing them a favor. You're trying to lift yourself above them and be like this type of fucking, what's that word? You're putting yourself up on a pedestal as some kind of like beacon of hope. I didn't ask for that. I'm getting like mad talking about this because I haven't really talked about it at all. And I'm literally getting irritated.
Yeah. And surprisingly enough, you thinking that you're a beacon of hope, usually nobody else is translating it that way. You may feel like a beacon of hope, but anybody looking at you is not thinking, oh, they're a beacon of hope. Usually nobody else is feeling that.
No, mind your business.
Literally. Mind your damn business.
And this person, I told them you're being rude. This has nothing to do with you. I don't, like, miss me with your questions, miss me with your positive bullshit. I don't want to talk to you about this. This is not your business. And then I blocked them. And they have since said that they were sorry. However, I felt like their apology was very rooted in selfishness, to be honest. I felt like they only said sorry because they needed to make themselves feel better. And they're looking for ways to make themselves feel like a better person. I said, thanks for the apology. Do I accept the apology? No. But I said, thanks for the
apology. And you don't have to.
And I don't have to. You don't have to accept anything like that, especially if you have a past with a person who you know for a fact has spiritually bypassed you time and time again. And it just, you don't want to deal with it. You don't have, like, if they say sorry for it, you don't have to accept that shit. You don't have to accept anyone's fucking apology, actually, while we're at it.
You know what, actually, so something that I heard a lot growing up in the religious community, and I know this is not just a religious thing, people just say this, but like, forgive and forget, that is toxic, to forgive and forget, because like you said, you can accept someone's apology, but you don't always have to. If somebody really did you dirty, you are not required to forgive. And sure as hell, forgetting is like gaslighting yourself. Being told, just forgive and forget. Someone is asking you to gaslight yourself and forget an experience that happened to you. The golden doodle just came back on my lap. Okay. But that's toxic positivity. Oh, just forgive and forget and everything will be so much better with that person. I don't care about trying to make the other person feel better. Like, do what's going to make you feel good. If forgiving and moving on is going to be okay for you and works for you, then that's great. But it's very toxic. It's a toxic positivity thing to just say, oh, you have to forgive and forget. No, you don't.
No,
you actually don't.
No, you really don't. And anybody who says that you have to can honestly get wrecked, because I'm telling you that you don't have to. And I'm sure someone's going to listen to this and be like, these two girls are such bitches. They just want to be mad and stay mad and they want to hinder their own growth. No, we're saying that it is okay to experience a wide range of emotions because you are a human being. You are not a human doing. You're not a human seeing. You're a human
being, and you deserve to acknowledge mm-hmm. how you feel at all times. And other people who don't acknowledge that are fucking assholes.
The world is not- and no one can gatekeep your life and your emotions. Like, everybody handles things differently. Just because something worked for them doesn't mean it's going to work for anybody else. And you are the only gatekeeper of your own life and your emotions.
Exactly. And that's that on that. Also, as a side note, if you have been trying to manifest and you've maybe, say you've been like taking tips from like someone who seems pretty well versed in it, but they're coming to you and they're saying like, yeah, the reason that things like aren't working for you is actually just, you know, you're still a really negative person. You've got all this, like, you're really depressed right now. Like, you should probably be on medication because you're just so miserable. Like, nothing is ever going to go right with your manifestations until your mental health is perfect. That's also spiritually bypassing. And it's also very insensitive. And it's just fucked up in general. You don't have to have perfect mental health to want to take part in the law of attraction. You don't have to be on 100 milligrams of Zoloft to sit down and write out how you envision your life. Like, people just, I don't understand, like, who even came up with the idea of gatekeeping?
I think it just started when spirituality created its own community on social media, which I think is great. But obviously with every community on social media, there's a really great, helpful side of it where people feel like they have found people who are like them, who they can relate to, who they can take advice from. And then there's also the negative side of it. And I feel like it just manifested itself on social media.
Yeah. Especially, I noticed, I don't know when the law of attraction got like the idea of manifesting and stuff, when it got so huge. I don't even really remember exactly what it was that got me into it, to be honest. I feel like it was like the Gym Goddess or somebody on YouTube.
I love
it. It's so easy to go down the rabbit hole online and just like end up in like some like overly positive, like, realm of thinking where if something bad happens to you, you just immediately start to naturally think like, what did I do to deserve this? How can I control it? Because everything's in my control. But then this is so fucking confusing too, because I don't think that everything is in your control, but I also don't believe in predetermination either.
Right.
So
I think I have a very similar view to you on that. Just slightly different. Like, I'm not someone who believes that my whole life is already planned out. And that there's like a, what's it called? Your destiny or a predetermined outcome for you. I don't believe in that. I believe in guidance. So I believe we can be guided down certain paths, but we have free will to choose to go down them or not.
Yeah.
And I believe that there are things in our control, and I believe that there are things out of our control. There is actually a religion that believes that you have no free will. Everything that happens to you is predetermined, and there's absolutely nothing you can do to change the outcome. And I think it's, it starts with a C. Let's see here.
Are you thinking about predestination? No, predestination is like when Christians believe that God has already chosen who he's going to save.
That's within this religion. It's called,
Calvinism.
Yes. Calvinism. Yes. With Calvinism, they don't believe in free will. Everything's predetermined, including who God is going to save and who he's not going to save.
That is unfortunate. Rufus is really wanting all the attention right now. He said, move aside, bitches. This is my podcast.
Yeah, he's like, I'm going to be the pod dog today. Step aside.
Mia's not.
We all know who the people are here for.
Mia's gonna throw a fit about that. I don't know if he wants to step on her little paw. She's kind of vicious right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's a little crazy right now.
Her and her diapies.
Her and her diapies. Yeah, Mia and her little baby diapies. Her little baby diapies, because she's a little period puppy.
Poor baby.
But yeah, I don't think we had too much else to go over in this episode.
Yeah, I think that wrapped it up.
Yeah, so don't let people tell you about yourself. When you're feeling shitty, don't let people sit there and tell you that everything's in your control. And if you know what, if you do believe everything's in your control, don't let people, like, if that's how you find your sense of peace, by taking a bad situation and saying, what can I control in the situation to make me feel better? That's what you want to do. Don't let someone tell you that everything is out of control and you have no say in it either. Like,
right.
I personally
handle things how you want to handle things, not how somebody else telling you you should handle it this way.
I personally believe that, I think it was an old unreleased Lana Del Rey song that I used to love when I was younger. And it was, it's kind of cheesy now, but the lyric was like, I'm the master of my destiny. You haven't seen the best of me. Mm-hmm. And I used to be obsessed with that when I was like probably 16 years old. And I don't know, I've just always kind of felt like I'm the master of my destiny. Like, I feel like a lot of life has happened to me, but the way that I have reacted to things, I feel like I have chosen routes as I've grown older. I've made better and better choices and gone down better and better roads of how I handle trauma and how I handle heartbreak and how I handle shitty friendships, people suffocating me, people smothering me, like,
yeah,
bad jobs, bad situations. I feel like I'm the one who made the choice. I didn't just let shit happen to me. Some things are out, like a lot of stuff is out of your control and a lot of stuff isn't. And, you know, there's no guidebook on how to handle everything, but nobody else gets to tell you how to handle everything either. Fuck them.
Yep. Fuck them. And you know what? The few times that I have, something happened and, you know, I had people interjecting, oh, here's how you should handle this. Here's how you should handle this. No, you should handle it this way. I listened to those people at the time because I'm speaking about a situation that happened when I was young. I didn't know what to do. I knew what I did know what I want to do, but I didn't know, should I listen to other people? Should I listen to what I want to do? I'm too young. Like, I can't make this decision. And I followed the advice of others. And I ended up miserable in a circumstance that I was in, just absolutely miserable and run to the ground. Because they were making decisions based off of how they thought they would handle the situation that I was in. And in reality, I was the only one in that situation. So,
and just so the people know, I know you and I have been talking about this all week, but I just want to say a big public service announcement that I am so grateful to have Liz in my life, because she is the one person that I feel like I can go to with absolutely anything. And she's always in full support of me. She always, are you going to start crying, bitch? I'm going to start crying. Fuck, stop. She's always in full support of me. And she always like validates my feelings and helps me see like every aspect, every outcome that could possibly happen. There's a fucking TikTok we were laughing about earlier this week where it was like, when you're the friend that like enables, it was like, oh, you stole something? What was it, like $1 was worth? Like, that's fine. Somebody else was probably going to steal it anyway.
Right. And then they're like, no, it was actually $500. You're like, oh, they deserved it. Or like something like, fine. It's fine.
But Liz is an enabler in the best way. Liz doesn't enable me to do bad things, but like, it's just really nice to have a friend that validates my existence, you know?
I feel the same. You're making me cry.
I'm about to cry my eyelashes off, bro.
I feel like we've had a little bit of a love fest this weekend, this whole week, and it's felt great because it's just been, we've just had a great time validating each other's existence. And Brooke is the only person I know on this planet, and I share a very special connection with, that I can literally tell her anything without fear of judgment and dirty fucking details that I wouldn't tell a soul on this planet. And I know that she's just over there eating popcorn wanting to hear more about it. So
yes. get you a Brooke or a Liz.
Yeah. Brooke is like one of my, you know, I'm someone who believes we have multiple soulmates on this earth. Romantic soulmates, friendship soulmates, like, and Brooke is totally like what, like one of my soulmates. You know, I mean, I believe that we do have a soul contract together. I don't have a life connection with anybody like I do with Brooke.
Oh my God, I'm so gay for you.
Same.
Y'all watch out. Y'all are gonna see us on social media on June 23rd getting married.
That's right. We're heading to the courthouse.
Seriously. If we get to be,
we've already made a deal.
Yep. We get to be that. 40 years old. I'm marrying you for tax purposes.
Yeah. Why the fuck not?
Why not?
Why the fuck not? We would be stupid not to.
It would be so fucking smart. I mean.
And if we're like 60 and we're both single, have nothing to do, we're going to move to Europe and like get a cottage somewhere. Like, we're just going to live the rest of our lives peacefully and happily together somewhere else.
Exactly. And you know, this is also pretty dark, but I'm just going to say it. If for whatever reason, something were to happen to me and I was to die at a young age, any decisions that you make that you think, well, I wish Brooke was, bitch, I'm watching. Know that I'm watching. Look,
I was just thinking about this situation yesterday when I was commuting into work. I was stuck on the highway because there was traffic. And I literally, for whatever reason, had a thought to myself. I was like, if either Brooke or I, knock on wood, I'm not putting this into the universe, were to pass away young, like I would look out for her the rest of her life. I was literally having that thought. Sitting in traffic going to work yesterday morning, and then you just said that.
I'm crying. Look, like there's actual tears about to fall.
Cancer love fest alert.
I would look out for you for the rest of my, for the rest of your life.
Bro, I think we've both already had the conversations with our higher selves too, that like we're done reincarnating. This can be my final form. I'm okay with that. And I would love to be somebody's spirit guide. That's what I want to do in the next lifetime. I want to be somebody's spirit guide.
Yeah. Oh my God. The emotions, the tears are running. Oh man.
Retrograde has begun, baby.
Oh yeah. Oh my God. Doesn't it? It ends the day you get here, right?
It does. It does end the day that I get there.
Oh man. My emotions, bro. And we're over here getting a tattoo that has like a water element in it for this reason.
Yes. Yep. That's okay. Yep. So it's got a mirror and a water element. We'll post pictures when we get them.
Oh man. This is going to be so great. I'm so freaking excited. Ugh. But we're going to close this episode out so that we can go plan out our tattoo deposit.
Yes.
So, yeah, tune in next week for, I don't know what the fuck the episode's going to be about, but I'm sure it'll be great.
Yep. Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you've been thinking about getting serious with your money, like actually serious, now's the time. The Motley Fool is offering new members 50% off their iconic stock recommendation service, Stock Advisor. This is the same service that's crushed the market with recommendations that have returned 1,057% since inception, compared to the S&P 500's 180% over that same period. This isn't guesswork. The Motley Fool has a track record of finding companies before they become household names. So if you want to invest smarter and you like saving money while doing it, go to fool.com/listen to claim your 50% off discount off a 1-year term of Stock Advisor. Again, that's fool.com/listen. Returns of 1,057% are from the Motley Fool's product Stock Advisor and measured against S&P 500 returns of 180% as of July 10th, 2025. Past performance is not an indicator of future results. All investing involves a risk of loss. Individual investment results may vary.
Hi there. My name is Annie Elise, aka your true crime BFF and host of the podcast Serialistly. I have been a true crime enthusiast forever, but I wished somebody would break down the cases for me like a friend, giving all the details and discussing every twist and turn. So I decided to create a podcast that does just that. Serialistly with Annie Elise is topping the charts with over 1 million weekly downloads. I do the deep dives in these cases so you don't have to, diving into all the raw details, saying what we're all thinking, and in a conversational way, just like having a conversation with your best friend. So join me and let's talk all things true crime. Serialistly with Annie Elise. New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday wherever you get your podcasts.